Grace to you and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first, and I am the last. Besides me, there is no God. Who is like me? Let him proclaim it. Let him declare and set it before me, since I appointed an ancient people. Let them declare what is to come and what will happen. Fear not, nor be afraid. Have I not told you from of old and declared it? You are my witnesses. Is there a God besides me? There is no rock. I know not any. Well, we say that the only things that are certain are death and taxes. But there may be a few other things that we can look at along the way as well. There is no rock. I know not any. What can we trust? What is sure? What is certain? In this world, we have all sorts of people who make promises to us. I would imagine that sometime or another, most of you have sat down with someone who sells insurance, and they will tell you, here is the chart. Here's how much money you are going to get, and here's how it's all going to work out. I remember in the early 80s, we bought some insurance, and they showed what the interest rate was at 4% and at 7% and at 11%. And when you get 0.18% interest now, it's hard to believe those days were even here. Those were the days when the interest was at 18 and 19%. And I thought that would just keep on going and we'd get a pile of money out of that one. Well, it didn't quite work that way. What's printed on paper clearly says this is just to show you what it could be, but it's no guarantee. We buy house insurance, and we figure out how valuable the house insurance is when something goes wrong and to see whether they cover that or not. Health insurance the same way, and we've been through an awful lot in our country in the last few years trying to talk about how are we going to insure people and take care of their health. You never really know what you're going to get until you have something done, and then you find out how much do they cover and how much don't they cover. What's rock solid? And what's kind of wishy-washy or kind of out there? We can look at the guarantees when we buy equipment. The fellow who took care of our dishwasher this week said, if anything happens within the next month, I'll come back and I won't charge you for coming back. I'm guessing 32 days from now, that's when for sure something could go wrong. Just about the time the clock ticks for that. We know that if it's hard to judge insurances and guarantees and warranties, it's even harder with human beings. As we mentioned last week already, there are a lot of promises that come that don't really get delivered. We don't find everything working out the way we want it to. Even our own promises don't always come true. And we certainly have trouble with the promises that others make, whether they were real or whether they weren't. Here are the people of Israel in southern Iraq, having been taken away, some believers and probably some unbelievers, when the temple was burned down in Jerusalem. And the prophet Isaiah had said, there will be a remnant that will be brought back. Is that real? Can you trust that or not, that people who had been taken away from one area to another are going to be able to go back again? They were in bondage. They were working for someone else. They couldn't make an 800-mile trip and not get caught. What they knew was that they were now under other people's gods. And I don't know how to dig this one deep in any of your hearts, But I do know that we do not live solely by the promises of Jesus Christ as our Savior. Sometimes we think things turn out because of luck, or maybe karma, or destiny, or maybe it was in the cards. We find all sorts of ways of trying to make sense of our world. If things happen that we don't like, well, that was chance. How do we deal with those things? We try to make sense of our world because we'd like our identity and our security and our meaning to be there. We want to know who we are. We want to know that we're safe, and we want to know that we are important in this world. That we're important to other people, and that we're important to God Himself. And yet, in the fog of the war of daily living, we can often get caught in wondering, just what is life anyway? The exiles certainly had that. They believed there was a Redeemer, and the same word that was used when God brought Israel out of Egypt many hundreds of years before that through Moses is used here now. I'm your Redeemer. I'm the one who's going to get you out of trouble that you can't get out of yourself. When I taught out at Oak Park Heights in our maximum security prison, I often thought as I went in to my classroom and when I left it that the students that I had were locked up. They weren't going to be going anywhere for probably a good long time. But I also thought about the fact that even though we are free on this planet, we're pretty much locked up too. We've got more ability to move around and to make decisions, but we are all locked up in a world that we know ends someday for all of us. Can the promises of God redeem us? Can we trust Him? Well, this is where, if you want proof, if you want a warranty, you're not going to get it. The only warranty, the only proof that we are going to get is the day when we finally stand before our Lord and look Him in the face and He says, "Come on in, I love you. I've been loving you ever since you were conceived, and before that I knew you from the beginning, and I have plans for you forever." So in the midst of the storm of life, we're in the eye of the storm, where it's calm and where it's settled. We don't realize it all the time. We don't feel it all the time. There are things that hurt us and wear us down and stab us in the heart and make us wonder about where things go. But our God says, "I'm with you. I'm here. And I love you. And I've made you my own. And there isn't any other God besides me. I've got big, thick, fat books about the gods of Egypt and the gods of the Mesopotamians and the gods of the Greeks and the Romans. My two volumes on the Greek myths have more gods than I can count, probably around 300 or 400, and the stories about them all made up. Just a different version of chance and hope and luck. Throw all those away. And we just have the God who created the heavens and the earth, who says, I made you to be with me forever, and when that broke, I came to fix it, to redeem you, not just from the troubles of this world, though I seek to work in your heart to help you be settled about them, but when Jesus Christ, the Son of God, our Redeemer, died on the cross, He delivered us from the brokenness between us and God. The brokenness that really spills over into all these other things. The brokenness that says our dreams and our hopes are not turning out the way we want them, not in every way. And it's part of the brokenness of this sinful world. The sad brokenness, the tragic brokenness that hurts us all and gives us the kind of aches that we want to have go away. Our Lord says there will be a day when they will all be gone, when you will be the wheat gathered into my presence, just as Israel was gathered and brought back at the time of Ezra and Nehemiah and the others who came back, the time of Haggai and Zechariah, where they said, let's build up our temple again, let's worship God, let's reestablish our relationship and understand that He loves us and that He guides us, and that one day at a time He is with us to settle and lead us. And so our Lord Himself is our Redeemer. He's pulled us out of the trouble of it. It does not mean, and let's not be foolish about this, that there won't be troubles that come to us. Sometimes tragic ones we had nothing to do with, like flying in an airplane and having someone shoot it out of the air. One of the saddest things I heard this week was that there is a family, I believe in Malaysia somewhere, that had family members die on both of their planes. How can that be? Isn't that enough, God? And what He says is, I've taken you away from the eternal brokenness that you can't fix, and I'm with you, so don't be afraid that you're alone in this world. Whenever this life ends, you will be with me forever. If we try and use our head to figure it out, we're going to be frustrated. But we come and we simply say, by faith the Lord has drawn us to hear this because it's good news, and we like hearing good news. And He says, come to me, burdened, heavy laden, I'll give you rest. And then to recognize that it may not be everything, and we don't need to write up our own God and say, God, you do this and then I'll love you. But to say, He promises that He is with us, and He will help us through whatever comes here, and that He will have us with Him in life everlasting. That's what spills over into our life with others, into our encouragement to each other, into our hope in the midst of things that don't go our way, in the midst of all the rockets that blow up in our world, and the desire for peace and safety and security. They come in Him, and He promises He's the only God, and He will be the one who brings us into life everlasting. May that settle us and help us to live each day in joy and hope, and help us to go forward knowing that the power that raised Jesus from the dead is at work in us, and that the words that come out of our mouth can be words of peace and joy and hope as we come here to praise Him and thank Him for what He has done, and to go forth with hearts that He has settled into our daily work each week. Amen. May the peace of God that passes all human understanding keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.